Take your Bible this morning, turn to the book of Psalms 56, please. Psalms 56. Just before I begin, I have to do a disclaimer. This message is not original with me. I heard it preached not too long ago by Pastor Terry Angel. And my first thought was, boy, that would help my church. My second thought was, why didn't I think of that message? And my third thought was, I'll never be able to deliver it as good as he did. But there are some good things in Psalms 56 this morning I want you to see. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I think I'm just a tad loud. There's a little bit of echo, at least on this side of the platform. Psalms 56, we're going to read verses 1 through 13. I'll read the first verse, you follow along on the second, and we'll read down to the entire chapter. Verse 1 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for a man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God will I praise His Word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. So they escape by iniquity. In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Tell us my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee." Watch the 13th verse. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Verse number 3 is our text this morning. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and, Lord, worship you, Father, in song and in hymn. Lord, we do thank you for Beulah Land. We praise you, dear God, that you're preparing a place for us, that where you are, there we may be also. And we look forward to that day when you'll come again. Yes. Now, Father, help us be faithful in these times. As we wait, Father, help us to labor in the work, Father, and labor in the fields, wait on the harvest. Now, Lord, I pray that you give us opportunity in these days, Father, to be a great witness, Father, and Lord, to see people saved. Lord, may we be bold in our witness, Father. Now today we also ask, God, that you'd help the preaching of your word. God, help us today. Help us to be comforted. Help us to be encouraged. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to turn our hearts toward you, Father. And Lord, I pray that, Father, that you would have your will in your way in our service. We ask in your name this morning. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this message this morning is Facing the What Times. Facing the What Times. I think I'm just still a tad loud. If you have a Bible, a Scofield Bible, a reference Bible, probably in the heading, it calls Psalms 56, it says, there's a word there that says Miktam of David. The word Miktam is used in the Bible six times. There are six Psalms with this heading in the book of Psalms. Psalm 16, Psalms 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60 all have this heading of Miktam. It means, the word Miktam means a golden psalm, precious. It means it would be considered as a classic hymn. We think of Amazing Grace or How Great Thou Art. They're classic hymns that have been a comfort down through the ages. That is Well With My Soul, another classic hymn that speaks of great comfort and the power of God in times of distress or times of worry. All six of these psalms that are labeled Miktams are written by David. And all six of these psalms speak of being delivered from times of trouble and of fear, the deliverance from those times. The Bible has a lot to say about being afraid or fear. Over 600 times in the Word of God, God's Word deals with the words afraid or fear. We are living in a day and a time in this coronavirus. We're living in days of fear. People are anxious and are worried. about what's going to take place tomorrow in the future. When you go to the stores are sold out of some things. If you go and if you're an enthusiast with guns or ammo, you go to the store and ammo has been bought up and you can't hardly find anything because of people being anxious and worried about what's going to take place. What would the impact of the coronavirus be upon our country, upon our health? What would the impact of being quarantined and businesses shut down not being able to be visited and people being laid off? What will be the financial impact upon our country, upon our families? And no doubt there'll be some troubled. There are some worried about their health of their loved ones. And in America, of course, we've seen the death of loved ones from the coronavirus. And my heart goes out for those. But we worry about not just the virus, but our future security. And the Bible has a lot to say about fear and about being afraid. We see in our verse this morning, verse number 3, it says, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." There is a, if you will, a what time for everyone. No matter how tough that we may think that we are, no matter how strong our faith may be, there is always a what time for in the life of everyone. There is a what time that they are afraid. Here we see that David had such a time, he had a what time. David now, in this particular psalm, David describes, he's looking back on his life when David was, in the book of 2 Samuel, David was running from Saul. Saul was, of course, pursuing David and was relentlessly pursuing him over the mountains and up and down mountains. And David was just weary. He was just worn out and he began to fear for his life that Saul would take his life. So David, in his own wisdom, ran to the king of Achish. A Philistine king, the king of Achish, or the king of Gath, excuse me. King Achish, the king of Gath. David ran there and he was trying to find a place of refuge, some relief there, and to preserve his life. And when he gets there before the king, David didn't plan this, but they recognized who he was. And they said, "Isn't this David, the man that has slain our brethren?" Did not they sing about David that Saul has slain his thousands, but David has 10,000s? And when David heard that, he realized he was recognized and that they might retaliate and take his life. Once again, David was in fear for his own life. You know what he did? He began to feign madness. He began to let his spittle run down his beard and began to act crazy like he was mad and insane. And King Achish was insulted and said, "What kind of man did you bring before me? Get him out of my presence." And David, of course, was spared. But he writes this psalm about that time. He writes a psalm about being afraid for his life and what God did for him. Even God's people experience at what time? A time of fear. Men of great faith in the Bible have experienced a time of being afraid. We read about throughout the Bible, Abraham feared for his life and lied about Sarah being his wife. Jacob feared for his life when he was returning home to meet his brother Esau. Saul was afraid of the Philistines. Jehoshaphat was afraid of the Ammonites and the Moabites. Nehemiah was afraid of the letters written by Sanballat to stop the work. Job lived in fear of what might happen in his life. Isaiah and Jeremiah were afraid to proclaim the word of God. Joseph was afraid to marry his wife. Peter was afraid of the storm as he walked on the water. The disciples met in secret because they were afraid of the Jews. Paul said about his own life that he was troubled on every side. Without were fightings and within were fears, he said. And this great man David in our text today, as a young man, he faced Goliath with seemingly no fear at all. And he had courage and boldness and he lived for, and he walked with God. And David at that time, he knew that God would protect him and he had no fear, it seemed like. But now this man, this great man that would be one day king, was afraid for his life because he faced, if you will, somewhat of the unknown. What would Achish do? Maybe David knew that he was there out of God's will. And so he was afraid. He had a what time in his life. So this morning, when the believer has a what time, they are experiencing an emotion already experienced by courageous and godly men that have gone before them. Can I say, don't be too hard on yourself when you have a little bit of anxiety or fear. Now I know that we're not to live by fear, but by faith. The fact of the matter is we're people, we're humans, and we all have a little bit of anxiety. This past week or two, I've not been afraid of the virus. I've not been afraid of contracting the virus. I'm not afraid for my life. But I am a little bit anxious, if I can use that word, a little bit anxious what this will do to our country. I'm anxious about how our people react. I'm anxious about the future of our families. So maybe financially a little bit, how it might impact our families or our church. I'm anxious for our community, how they'll respond. What will they do? Will they turn toward God and become more stubborn in their ways? And so there has been a little bit of anxious, a little bit of fear that way, if you will. Of course, I have sons who are first responders. And so I do fear a little bit for them as well, a little anxious for them. And so when we experience a little bit of fear of the unknown, we are experiencing the same emotion that men and women before us have already experienced. Fear is inherent for everyone. May I say this morning, it's not what you do, it's not the what time that defines you or your faith. It's what you do in the what time of your fear that defines who you are and defines your faith. Charles Maupin was a World War II veteran. He was on the beaches of Normandy the day after as a radio man. He said this, he said, fear breeds fear. The more you let fear control you, the more afraid you're going to be. That's what happened to a lot of the soldiers during the war. Fear got the best of them. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's overcoming fear and acting and doing your job in spite of your fear. Everyone's afraid. I doubt there was a soldier during the war that wasn't afraid. That is inherent in human beings when your life is in danger. The Bible, 62 times in the Bible, uses the phrase, fear not. 4 times Joshua was told to be strong, be of good courage, and fear not. Be not afraid that God was with them. There is a solution to fear. There's a solution to fear. There's a solution to anxiety. This morning I want to talk to you about what to do in your what time. When we face the what time, it may be, you might be here this morning or on our video, and you may say, preacher, I'm not afraid one bit. Well, but there are times in your life when something might cause you some fear. I grew up, I don't know why, as a young, I don't know if I've seen something, if I watched something on television, but I grew up thinking that there was something that lived under my bed. And that it would get, in the middle of the night, it would come and get me. I was afraid of what might be under the bed. I'm not sure why as a young child, but I believe that if I slept in the middle of the bed, under the covers, that I was safe and sound right in the middle of that bed. I had a fear. It was perhaps unreal, but it was very real to my life. Jonas, our son, of course, was born with a nut allergy. And he's very allergic to nuts. And so as he's had a few episodes in his life of reacting to accidentally taking some, eating some food with nuts in it. And so he's had a few episodes. And so now he's, especially not so much now, but when he was younger, he had a great fear of eating the wrong thing. And so one of the first times we were at a potluck and he ate a brownie with walnuts in it. And, within a matter of minutes, he broke out in hives, his face swelled up, his lips became huge, and he had a hard time breathing, he became lethargic, so they took him to the emergency room, and of course they were in a panic, and they did all kinds of things to him, and that marked his mind for a long time, what he had a little afraid. Now, he had fear of what might have happened, and what could happen. And so when we would have other potlucks or go to people's house, he would point to the food and he would say to his mom, is that food safe? Now, we knew what that word meant. We knew what that phrase meant. It didn't bother us any. But when you point to a lady's, when you go to a potluck and point to a lady's food and say, is that food safe? And she hears that, now she's a little bit angry. Of course it's safe. I made that. But he was afraid of what might have happened if he ate some more nuts or pecans or walnuts. You know, that worked out really good for us as he grew up as a child, because when we were eating something good and he said, can I have a bite? We would say, no, this has nuts. You can't have it. It kept us from sharing a lot of food with Jonas. I want to talk to you this morning for just a little bit about what is a source of fear. I think for us to find out how we can combat fear and have trust in God, what is the source of man's fear? We have, first of all, this morning, the source of our fear is the potential of the unknown. The potential of the unknown. Luke 21:26 says, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. We have the unknown for man is scary. But our minds begin to run wild and we imagine the worst possible scenarios. Often what we think about maybe is oftentimes worse than what really is. I learned this a few weeks ago when I went to the doctor about my heart condition and my heart problem that I had. And they ran all kinds of tests on me. So I was able to read the results of my tests on the internet before I went to the doctor. And I misread some results. I didn't understand them. And I convinced myself I had kidney failure. And I was worried about having kidney failure. So I was looking in my eyes to see if they were jaundiced, you know, and doing all kinds of things. And in my mind, I'm thinking dialysis and transplant. And I was worried. And so when I went to the doctor, I told her, she laughed and she told me the results. She said, the healthiest thing on your body is your kidneys right now. I'm like, oh. You know, our mind just goes crazy. We're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of the unknown. But I believe this, that men's fear of the unknown is the conscious awareness of their deserved judgment from a holy God. Even though many men have rejected God, so there is no Christ, or I don't need a Savior, they're very conscious that God has implanted in them. They fear the unknown because they realize it's a deserved judgment. It is the ever-convicting presence of the Holy Spirit judging the world of sin. So the unknown causes men to fear. We fear tomorrow because of what we cannot see. Men have this false sense of security in controlling what they think they know. With this idea that if we know tomorrow, if we know the future, we can control it. But may I ask this morning the question, what can men really control? What can you really control? What do you have this morning that you can really control and say, I'm in control of this? Thousands that never contracted the coronavirus will die this year from heart attacks, strokes, cancer, diseases, car accidents, house fires, other injuries. They can say, I missed the coronavirus, I survived. But then there'll be hundreds and thousands this year that die of other things that they have no control over. But the fear of the unknown is oftentimes paralyzing. We also have the source of fear, I believe, not only the potential of the unknown, but the pressing of the great deceiver, Satan. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Fear is an ungodly fear, a fear of tomorrow, a fear of anxious and worry is not from God. Satan is the father of fear. In fact, if you read the Bible, fear is never mentioned until after Satan enters the garden with Adam and Eve. There is no mention of fear before then. The Bible works to paralyze the believer in fear. Excuse me, the devil works to paralyze the believer in fear. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious and worry over nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make a request, be made known unto God. You see, fear, the devil wants to paralyze the believer in fear, for fear paralyzes the believer's prayer life and robs him of his joy. Fear turns thanksgiving into ingratitude and praise into scorn. Fear hinders the work of God and sidelines the believer. And so the devil works to cause fear in the life of the believer. He's the great deceiver, the great liar. So we have the source of fear, the potential of the unknown, the pressing of the great deceiver, but also we have the perplexing of our faith. In Mark chapter 4, verse number 40, the Bible says this, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? Here this verse talks about the disciples were right in the middle of God's will. They had been laboring and serving, and God said, get in a ship and go to the other side. And they obeyed God, and in that ship, a storm came. You know the story. And Christ was asleep in the back of the boat, laying on a pillow, fast asleep, and the waters and the waves began to beat against the ship. The water was coming into the ship, and they were afraid it might sink, and they cried out, Master, do you care for us? We're about to drown. And of course, Jesus Christ woke up and he said, why are you so fearful? Oh, you have a little faith. And so, where does fear come from? When our faith is perplexed or confused, we can begin to doubt, does God really care? You see, faith will cause you to doubt, does God really care? Does God see me? Is God aware of my problems? Is God asleep in the midst of the storm? It's when our faith is perplexed, when our faith is confused. But I also believe this. Not only is the source of fear, the potential of the unknown, the pressing of the great deceiver, the perplexing of our faith, but also the presence of known sin. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. You see, the wicked, the sinner, is afraid. There's fear in his life, and so when no man pursues, he lives in fear. The first time we hear of fear of man is Genesis 3:18. After Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, they hid themselves from God, and that normal walk with God that they had in the cool of the day, they hid themselves, and God said, "Where art thou? Where did you go? Why are you hiding?" And Adam said, "I was afraid because I was naked." You see, sin causes the believer to live in fear. The lost lives in fear of the unknown. Their lives live in fear of death because of the rejection of Christ. And though they might accumulate to themselves wealth and prosperity and positions, they live in fear of the unknown. What's going to happen when I die? And so they live in fear. The backslider lives in fear because they know they're not right with God. They disguise their fears in false courage, in pride and arrogance. They attempt to use anger to deflect their fears. They attempt to flee from their fears by unleashing a critical spirit on others of courage and faith. They blindly endeavor to smother their fears with more sin, and foolishly to try to conquer their fears by their own wisdom and selfish accomplishments. The anxious sinner will heap to themselves prosperity, position, and power in hopes to gain some security. But in the midnight hours, the secret places of their hearts, security eludes them. The sin that they thought would bring them peace has penetrated their heart and soul with a plaguing fear. Sin causes men to live in fear. Sin says, "I'll give you peace, I'll give you comfort," but men live in fear. Though they disguise that fear with pride and arrogance, anger, critical spirit, but in the midnight hours, when they're alone to themselves, they know where they're at. They know they're right with God. I remember growing up as a young child, you'd hear the stories, as a teenager, you'd hear the stories of different things coming. You know, the chicken flu and coyotes or wild bees or, you know, killer bees are coming. And you'd hear these things. Or maybe, I can remember sometimes, thunderstorms that we lived in an old farmhouse. These thunderstorms would come through the area, and the windows would rattle in that old farmhouse. And you would like, "The Lord's coming today!" And lightning would flash across the sky and light up the night, and you're a little bit afraid of the storm. And so, as a teenager, I began to, "Lord, I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess sins. I'm sorry for my thoughts of my mom and disobeying my dad. I want to be right with God if you were to come that day, come that night." You see, sin causes a believer to living in sin. Now, we're not perfect by any means, but when you have no sin in your life you're living in, it causes a believer to live in fear. What is the solution to fear? What must you do in your what time? When you have a what time, "I'm afraid," whatever the source may be, what do you do in the what time when you're afraid? Can I give you this morning this three thoughts about what to do in the what time? Look with me at verse number 3. David said, "What time I'm afraid." Everyone has a what time. Here's the reaction. "I will trust in thee." This morning I'm going to say, first of all, is this. Trust in the person of God. David said, "When I'm afraid, when I have a what time in my life," though he had slain Goliath and done many great things for God, David had some what times in his life when he was afraid of the unknown, when his faith was perplexed, when the devil tried to persecute him, when he had sin in his life, when he had some fear, he had a what time when he was afraid. He said, "What time? In that time, I'm going to trust in the Lord." Look at verse number 8. The Bible says this. "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Sometimes we go through the what time. Our question is God aware of where I'm at? God, I'm in the boat and you're sleeping. Do you know, God, there's a storm in my life? God, are you aware? And David said this, "I'm going to trust in God because he knows my wanderings. He knows right where I'm at." God is not surprised. Though this pandemic is going across our world, God's not scratching his head thinking, "What should I do now?" Right. In fact, I believe this. I'm believing that God is sending, that God is allowing this to happen to say, "Hey, America, wake up and turn back to me." Sure. This is not no accident. You say, "Well, it was an engineered virus." But God let it happen, I believe. God's at control on the throne. And God, once again, saying, "America, wake up! You're a Christian nation. Turn back to your roots. Turn back to being a Christian nation." But David said this, God knows where I'm at. God knows my wanderings. In fact, God, he said, God is so aware of where I'm at. He knows my griefs, my worries, my troubles. But God records and saves your very tears. Now, there's some of you this morning, you wouldn't cry in church because you're too manly for that and too tough. You wouldn't want anybody to see your tears. But I know that in the midnight hours, in your prayer closet, there are times you shed tears. And David said this, God, he records them in a book. He puts them in a bottle. He knows the tears that I cry. God, listen, think about that. If God knows when a sparrow falls and he even saves your tears, he records them in a book. God knows where you're wandering. God knows where you're at. God's not lost in this situation. Look at verse number 4 about the person of God. David said this in verse number 4, and God, will I praise his word, and God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. David said this. He was saying this, that God is bigger than you. God is bigger than the bigness of your weakness. Does that make sense to you? God is bigger than the bigness of your weakness. God, I'm frail. I'm weak in this area. God is bigger than that. He knows where you're at. He knows your needs. He knows your grief. He knows your sorrows. David said this to God. He said, listen, because I trust in the person of God, I'll not be afraid of my own weakness, what flesh can do to me. You know, we are plagued because of our corrupt nature, of our flesh, and of sin. Our world is plagued with diseases. And it's easy, if you're not careful, to live in fear of germs, of what might happen, and live in fear of the big C word, cancer. To live in fear of what might happen. But David said this, that God is bigger. He's in control. I'm not afraid of what the flesh can do to me. Look at verse number 11 of the same chapter of what the person of God. He said this, in God have I put my trust. I'll not be afraid what man can do unto me. David said, I'm not afraid of what the flesh can do to me. I'm not afraid of being weak or frail. I'm not afraid of sicknesses or diseases. God's in control. I'm put my trust in God. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something, friend. No matter how hard you labor and work, the Bible still says, it's one of the man wants to die. Sure. Our days are numbered. And so we'll not live forever in this body. But in the one to come, we will, if you're saved. But David said this. He said that, listen, my trust is in God because he's bigger than man. I'm not afraid what man may do to me, that God is able to deliver us, that God is bigger than the mightiest of men. God's bigger than that. He said, I'm not going to fear. I won't fear Saul. When David was thinking with it, when David was walking with God and he was being spiritual, he said, I may be afraid, but I'm going to trust in God. And I won't be afraid of man. But when he got living in the flesh, thinking with his wisdom, with worldly wisdom and man's logic, oh boy, fear paralyzed and overcame him. But when he put his trust in God, folks, today I want to encourage you, you can trust God. Amen. That God knows where you're at, and God knows your needs, and God knows the problems in your life. God's aware of that. He's aware of your failures and your weaknesses. He's aware of where you're not strong. He's aware of what men around you are doing, and the threat of persecution, the threat of men. He's aware of all of that. He's bigger than all of that. You can trust in God. Amen. You have faith in God and trust him. But I also see this about David. By the way, God is able to save the sinner. This morning, if you've not been saved, no doubt you are living in fear. And God can not only save you from all kinds of things the world wants to put on you, but God can save you from your sin. Not only did David trust in the person of God, but David trusted in the promises of God. Look with me in our text again this morning. Look with me at verse number 4. David said this, in God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. He repeats something very similar in verse number 9 when he says this. Verse number 10, excuse me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. David was, he said, what does it mean to praise his word? David, he was saying, I'm going to exalt and honor the word of God. I'm going to trust what the word of God says. Verse number 12, we find that David's verse here says this, thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee. What David was saying is, I'm going to trust the promises of God's word. I'm going to trust what, listen, whatever God's word says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to honor and exalt and extol the word of God in my life. I'm going to obey God. When God says jump, I'm going to jump. When God says go, I'm going to go. When God says, hey, stay, I'm going to stay. See, you can trust God's word. Young folks, you can trust God's word. When the word of God says obey your parents, you can trust that word. That God will protect you and give you health and long life. It'll be well with thee. When God says, hey, listen, husbands and wives, stay together and don't depart, don't divorce, you can trust that. Love your husband, love your wife. You can trust the word of God. When God says, forsake not assembling yourselves together, you can trust the word of God. You can trust God's word. No, I'm not saying this morning that we'll never get sick. But I'm saying this morning we can trust the word of God. Praise begins in the heart and is also verbalized with the tongue. Really, we don't know what man says. Well, what God says. Yeah. You know, I always think we need to be wise. When I'm not talking about, I don't think God wants us to live foolishly. We shouldn't tempt the Lord thy God with foolishness. We've got to be wise. But if all you listen to is Fox News and CNN and what you read on Facebook, you're going to live your life in fear. It's all doom and gloom. You know, all this stuff, the Chinese are coming, you know, socialism is coming. We know that we live in the last days, that perilous times shall come. But it does not weaken the word of God. And you can, by the way, and so when you're doing what God says, verbalize it. David was verbalizing. You know, he was talking to himself in a positive. Now I'm not talking about being positive thinkers, but he was talking to himself in a spiritual, godly way. He instead of being gloom and doom, he knelt in prayer. He sang psalms and hymns. Tell others of Jesus. These are ways that you can praise God and praise His Word by kneeling in prayer, by singing a song or a hymn. By telling others of Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something. When fear paralyzes the believer and sin comes into our life, our praise is cut off. Our praise is hindered. You find anybody living in sin, go to His Word of God, I guarantee you they're not praising God. I guarantee you their prayer life is anemic. I guarantee you there's not a song in their heart about Christ Jesus. There's no witness for they're not witnessing to others for Christ Jesus. And so David said, I'm going to praise the word of God and praise God for His word. I'll praise His word. And so trust in the promises of God. Lastly is this. Trust in the power of God. Look at me at verse number 13. What a great verse. Watch what David says here. Tremendous. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. What a great testimony. This morning, can you remember your testimony of being saved? Remember that when you came to a place in life, the Spirit of God convicted your heart of sin. Boy, that sin became exceedingly sinful. And your day turned as black as night. And that burden became a huge weight. And your heart was weighed down. And you felt the dooming punishment of your sin. And you knew that if you were to fall off into eternity, that you would split the gates of hell wide open. But there came a light that pierced through. And Christ revealed the gospel unto you. And you turned from your sin and your unbelief. You cried out to Christ to save you. Remember all of a sudden how that guilt of all that sin, and that pending judgment was washed away. Remember how that fear fled? Also the peace of God flooded into your heart, overcame you. You might not have had tears, but many folks have tears. There's a smile upon their face. There's a shine in their eyes. A skip in their step, and they're quick to tell others about, I just got saved. And you're excited about being saved. You're excited about being baptized, about getting involved in the church house. And you know that your soul is delivered from death. David said, I remember that. Remember how Jesus Christ, by the power of God, came to this earth, and he lived he overcame a sin. He conquered death in the grave. Sin could not corrupt him. Satan could not devour him. Hell could not destroy him. And the grave could not keep him. He was more powerful than all of that. And he was now your Savior. And he saved your soul from death. David said this, "Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" David said this, if God can come and conquer sin and conquer the grave and defeat the devil. And by the way, when Christ defeated the devil, he triumphed over them openly. He put his feet upon the throne of Satan and said, "I won!" And no longer is man in bondage to sin when they receive Christ. David said this, if God could conquer death and the grave and sin and give me life, surely that same God can keep my feet from falling in the light of the living. This morning, Christian, trust in the power of God. If he could save your sin and my sin, if he could save us from sin, what can he not do in your life? We're talking about the God that flung the stars in space and holds them together with the power of his hand. We're talking about God that spoke the universe into existence and said, "Let there be," and it was. Talking about a God that said when it was all finished, God said, "It is good. It is very good." Talking about a man that has stopped time and turned back time. Talking about Christ that has used his men to accomplish great things. You know, it plagues me a little bit to think about the children of Israel and their lack of faith. Think about what they witnessed firsthand with their eyes. They witnessed Egypt being plagued as God kept them in perfect safety. They witnessed the parting of the Red Sea and walked across on dry ground. They seen manna from heaven fall every morning and were fed for years. Yet so often when the unknown came, they turned and they lived in fear and criticized and complained and murmured. And I think, how can they do that? Then I look at myself and realize, how can I do that? David says this, if God can save me, God can keep me, my feet from falling. This one, I want to encourage you that Christ still sits on the throne. Amen. There has been no emergency meetings in heaven. There's no daily briefings about what we're going to do next. There's no CDC. There's no health department in heaven where Christ is consulting. What should we do now? Do you realize the trouble they're having there and on earth? What should we do? Hey, there's no emergency meetings. He's in control. He knows your finances. He knows your problems. He knows our temptation. He knows our weaknesses. And he's still on a throne. We must remember that everything's all right in my Father's house. The problem with us sometimes is people that we want this to be our heaven. This is not our heaven. This is where we labor. This is the fields where we labor and we work for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where he lets temptation, where he lets the trials and he lets problems mold us in the image of Christ Jesus. Can you imagine how fat and sassy we'd all be if there were no trying of our faith? We'd all go around thinking how great our faith is with no trials. How would you know how strong you are until you lifted something? Until you struggled. So these times are times when Christ reveals our faith, but he also not only reveals who we are, but he reveals who he is and his power. So in the what times? This may not be your what time. This very well may be for some of you, like, I don't know, preacher, what we're going to do. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about, am I going to have my job? I don't know if I went to the store and there's food that's missing. Is this going to happen? What's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen to our life? This might be your what time. Can I encourage you to trust in the person of God? The thrice holy God is still on the throne. Can I encourage you this morning to trust in the promises of God? He said this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. No matter what storm we go through, Christ walks the storm with us. May we be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that said this to the king. King, we're not worried a bit. God is able to deliver us. And if not, King, we'll still not bow to you. May we remember the power of God. If God can save you from hell, he has no problem feeding your face. He has no problem keeping you healthy. You see, we want the miracles without the problem. What is a miracle without the dilemma? There must be a dilemma for a miracle. We say, God, give me the miracle without the dilemma. We're trying to take shortcut God. So trust in the power of God. Now, I'm going to close with this thought. There is something to fear for the unbeliever. Listen to this verse, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I believe that this judgment today, that this fire that we're seeing today, whether people want to admit it or not, whether people want to talk about it, whether it's politically correct or not, this is God's judgment saying, listen, America, wake up! Today we're all upset about, it shouldn't be taken lightly, those that die of diseases or viruses. But America has slain by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, the innocents. America lives in perversion of immorality and all this other garbage. And we say, there is no God. And God said, there is a God. I'm still here. And God gives judgment. America today is being judged. This is not some mistake or some happenstance. This is not a coincidence. But God's saying this. He's saying, if you think this judgment is severe or harsh, if you reject me and don't believe and put your faith and trust in me, the fearful and unbelieving and all the abominable will be judged and cast like a fire. Now today, whether you want to believe there's a hell or not, whatever you believe does not make it true. There is still a hell. There's still a loving God that's holy and just, that loves, that has great kindness and compassion, that will save sinners from sin if they trust in him. But those that reject Christ and live in unbelief, they'll hear the words one day, depart me for I never knew you. And they'll spend eternity in hell with everlasting fire and fear. Imagine living for the rest of eternity in fear. Paralyzed, overcome in fear. This morning, I want to encourage you not to live that way. Christ can save you from not just your problems in life, but for your soul from hell. Today, if you're not trusting Christ, I'd encourage you to run to Christ. To turn to Christ and accept him. To receive him as your Savior. I'm not saying this morning if you're religious, if you've been through confirmation classes, if you're a certain denomination, I'm saying this morning, have you trusted in Christ as a personal Savior? Have you received him as a personal Savior? I'll ask you Christians this morning, would you run back to Christ? Would you turn back to him? Would you confess, repent of your sin, and humble yourself and pray, and seek his face that God may once again heal our land and our homes and our churches? You cannot live in sin, regardless of what you believe and when. It won't happen. This morning, in what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Father, today we come to you in closing. We thank you, dear God, for your precious word, your precious promises, Father, and your great power. Lord, may we today, as a Christians, and at what time, Father, may we trust in you and turn toward you. And God, this morning I pray that the many that's unsaved, with the sound of our voice this morning, that they would trust in Christ their Savior. May they turn to you, dear God, and repent and be saved this morning. I pray this morning that for sinners today, for the backslider, whose life, Father, is living in sin. Well, today may you turn their heart as well. May they put away their foolishness and their pride, their own earthly wisdom, and dear God, fall before you, dear God, and ask you for forgiveness. God, give comfort now to our family, we pray. Let's all stand together this morning. Let's stand together. The piano begins to play invitation song.